Okay, so yesterday we noted, right, that a careful read of the Mishnah will force us to ask the question, what is the connection between Tevilat Kelem and Hechsher Kelem? Right? Now, the simplest sort of misvara, the simplest thing you could say is that Tevila is adding a positive, right? It's adding Kedusha. And koshering is removing the negative of the bliot of treif, of basar b'chalav, of nevela, of whatever iser is inside. And therefore they are distinct. However, we noted that the simple reading of the Mishnah, at least as taken by Rashi, is not that way, right? Because the Mishnah says, Elkech kli tashmer shavadik chovim et shedarko lahatvil. Yadvil, lahagil, yagil, lilabain ba'or, yilabain ba'or, which makes it sound like tvila alone is a form of hechsher. And then when the Gemara says vichulan, meaning all those things that were koshered, tzrichin tvila, so we noted there's two ways of reading that. One is, all kelim really need tvila, but that's distinct from koshering, right? Or, right? No, certain things only need to be quote-unquote koshered through tvila.
Some things.
Correct. Now, what I didn't tell you yesterday, right, but now we will do, is that there is another way of reading the Mishnah that would have potentially allowed us to even further drive a wedge between Tevila and Hechsher. Okay, allow us. And that is, so give me the Ritva. Right, well, why didn't I bring it?
No, please.
The Chavod.
So if you look at
several Rishonim
have this, right? Several Rishonim. So look, in the Ritva, this is on page Tufnun Beis, right? In the Masar of Kook one, it's the second one on the Mishnah. Got it? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Do you want to share with them and? You can share the Ritva with Nachum. Okay. Donnie can share with me. So the Ritva says, you got it. Tufnun Beis. Tufnun Beis.
Yep.
Yeah. Ein Hamid Beis. It says, Eshadarko lahatvil yatvil, perish. Eshadarko lishdamesh bobitzonin ke'ain tvila. That which you normally use with cold, meaning like tvila, yatvil. Klomar, yadiach, the shafshef, yafela, viri sur shalpanav. Yatvil doesn't mean tvila. What does it mean?
Right, exactly. So, theoretically, I could have a situation, theoretically,
Klomar yadiach lishav sheif yafeh. La viri surshav anav. It means to scrub it down.
And the
clean it. How does the Ritva read the Mishnah? The Ritva is a smoother read of the Mishnah, which is yes, all three things in the Mishnah have to do only with koshering. And there are three ways you can kosher.
Oh, so it's not even
Hagalah and Libun, but if something is cold,
scrub it down.
And then when the Gemara says Vikulan Srichan Tvila is, and everything that you need to kosher, right? Whether you by scrubbing or by
they all need
Tvila, and that's what he says. The Ilu Tvila Dabaram Salo, Iri Mishnah saying our Mishnah isn't even talking about Tvila in what we call Tvila. Because the language makes no sense. That which is normally used through tvila, you should put in the mikvah. What does that even mean? So that's what all the mefarshim understood, except for who? Rashi. Remember, that was Rashi. Rashi says tvila actually means tvila here.
Right.
Okay. Right. No! In the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah thinks the word means tvila. And that's what led to that whole nightmare of how to read the Mishnah that we talked about yesterday.
And then the
Rishonim, like the Ritva, saying no! The Gemara introduces tvila, the Mishnah never talked about it. The Mishnah said there are three ways of koshering. One is called tvila.
That
which needs to be kosher also needs to be toveled.
Or what the Ritva says, that which needs
to be... No, according to that's how the Ritva reads it. That which needs to be koshered in the Mishnah, all three, needs to be toveled.
Right, but I'm saying he's reading the Mishnah that yitvel is not...
Correct, meaning the Mishnah doesn't discuss tvila. Now, that still leaves you with two possibilities, right? But now you can understand even more of the two possibilities, because now you can read it in one of two ways. Either there are two distinct things you need. Koshering, which is the topic of the Mishnah, and Tvila, which is the context of the Gemara, Velo Karav Zelza, they have nothing to do with each other, or...
They still have what to do with
it. Or, that which needs to be koshered needs Tvila, because there is a connection. You need to remove the negative of Toma and the negative of non-kosherness. Right? So, this read allows for both possibilities, but it makes it clearer how you could draw a sharp distinction between them. Right? Meaning, you could read it either way, but this is a different read. Okay. So now, yesterday we noted the first sort of halachic test case to this, of whether tvila is only about adding a positive, or also about removing some negative force, right, is
the order,
and we said there's two possibilities that we saw yesterday, primarily, which were the Rashbam versus the Rosh, which was
if you tovel a thing that wasn't kosher, it's like going to mikvah with
correct. Now that language of the Rashbam makes it sound like at some level that which koshering is removing, tvila is also removing, right? Which brings them very right. Think about it, right? He says, toveling, if you haven't kosher, is like going to a mikvah, b'sheretz b'yado, but you understand the mashal. He's saying, right,
yeah,
putting something in the mikvah,
no. It's like
you're
removing this.
It sounds like hechsher and tefillah are removing things that are related, because going to the mikvah won't work if that which makes, right, again, the mushal is...
That which makes it...
Makes it tame, right? Meaning, it's not just... No, but that's not the mushal he uses, right? He mixes and matches, right? He uses a mushal about tahara to explain...
He's not talking about the treif of the bug, he's talking about the tum of the
bug. So this is why it could go in the direction... Right? It's not clear which direction it goes in. It's clear that they both remove a negative, and that they're closely related. It's not clear whether he thinks that the tuma of tvila is a type of non-kosherness, right? Or koshering is also a koshering also has a tahara element to it. It's not clear which one he means, right? Not totally clear, but at any rate, what's clear from the Rashbam is that he thinks that the aspect of tvila which removes a negative, right, is so fundamental. No, the aspect of tvila, the removal of negative, is so strong such that if you haven't removed the negative of kashrus, then whatever negative tvila removes will not be effective. Right? Because you need to do it in the right order.
God.
Right?
Wait, why can't you say that?
But if you think they're totally distinct...
Wait, according to the Rashbam, it sounds like, okay, if you don't remove the kashrus, the tvila is not going to add this second...
No! It's not what he says. Think about his language.
It's like going to the mikvah with a bug in your hand.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's not adding this form of... Oh, that tefillah is not...
It sounds like the non-kosher thing.
Right.
Right? No, think about it. That tefillah is to remove tuma, not to be most of Kedusha.
Right.
And he's saying that at some level, the non-kosherness is what's going to maintain the tuma.
No, but he's saying it doesn't remove the tuma. The bug is still there.
Correct.
It's like going to the hand with the tuma in your hand.
Correct.
So it doesn't have the
still,
aspect
what is
of
tuma.
No, his point is...
If it was, then the bug...
No, his point is... His point is that tefillah and koshering are related, such that lacking koshering, right, prevents tvila from removing its problem of tuma, which means that there's some connection between the negative.
That's not how I'm reading Rashba.
That's not what you're focusing on. The Rashba is
No. You're reading the wrong thing here. Right? He's saying if you haven't removed the lack of kosherness,
right,
then the tvila won't work. Why?
It won't add this.
No, that's not what he says.
What?
That's not what he says. It does not say it won't add. What does it say?
It
won't remove the negative that was left over from the non-koshering.
Meaning that the tovel does something with the kashrut.
Right? He's talking about a sheretz. Right?
He says there's still like, it's like going to the mikvah with a bug in your hand.
Correct.
Right. Which means the mikvah does not remove the bug from the pot.
No. Is that tvila won't be able to remove... No. Tvila doesn't remove the bug. Tevila removes the tumah, and he's saying the tumah can't be removed as long as that which the kashering is supposed to solve is still there. Which means that the problem that tevila is solving and the problem that kashering is solving are related enough such that as long as it's still not kosher, tevila can't do its job.
Right, but I still don't see. Like,
right, I mean they're not totally distinct, right? Clearly.
Right, but I still don't see how you're going from removing a negative versus adding a positive.
I'm not. I said he's focusing on negative. They're both. He seems to be focusing on negative. That both. That's exactly the point. That since tefillah's job is to remove the negative of tumah.
Right.
Right. If there is tumah still there, not kosherness.
Right.
Then tefillah doesn't work.
No,
tefillah has to be the end.
Like, no, but it kind of sounds like you need this kosher to remove the tumah, and then the tovel adds.
No, not at all.
No, they both times they're removing. Tovel removes the Arabness.
That's what
I'm.
They're not the same tumah, right? Non kosherness is not the same as tumah. In order to compare them, you have to assume that at some level there is a connection, right, between them,
or at least a hierarchy that you can't.
So hold that thought for a second, right? The Rush says no, they are totally distinct. Right, you can right as we said the example before. Right, if you accidentally trafe up your pot, you don't have to bring it. You don't have to bring it to the mikvah again, right? Because they're not the same,
right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. The Rush doesn't think they're the same. They're two different things.
Right, but it doesn't distinguish between adding a negative and adding a pot and removing.
No. Like I said there's two questions. One is the adding negative, and two is how closely are they related? Right. Meaning it could. You can look at adding positive, right, or taking away negative. The point is the Rush thinks they're totally distinct, and the Rashbam clearly does not. Right? He doesn't.
Right.
It's not about adding positive. It's negative. It can't remove that negative. Right? Meaning the presence of tarfus,
right,
prevents removing the tumah. That's the mashal. Right? Going to a mikvah doesn't add tara, it removes tumah.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, there is a third possibility, right, which is what? Now, there is a possibility, sort of on a technical level, that this is just Xeris HaKasuv. Right? That the reason you need to do Hechsher and Tefillah in this order is because of the Pasuk. Now, that doesn't explain conceptually why it's true, it just tells you that maybe, right, the force behind the law is Xeris HaKasuv. Right? And that's what several Rishonim point to. The Ritva, for example, just says, because the Pasuk says, Bitahir is at the end. Right? It says that, right? Kol Asher Yavdevu Be'esh, right? Mamayim, anything goes through fire, water, etc. And then, Bitahir, right? Bimayim Yida Yitzchata.
Right.
Right? So it could just be Zigzer Zakasuv. It could be. Okay?
What about this case? What about if I have.
Okay. Now, the Ritva uses this language as well.
Depends on the ratio of the yeah, thank you.
Right, he says La'olam ein tvila zu el achar hechshiro shel kli. Because the Tanya writes the kaman and karnami achim buchen and zivit erev sof. And nami le kaman da hayushanim ve libnon ki chadashim zvin and tvila b'chem din. Shem lo ken reiv ka'adam atol v'sharet b'yadar shel also lo tvila b'al. Okay. Good. Fine. What other nafkaminas might there be to this? So, I wasn't going to do this one, this nafkamina, because I thought it was a bit too complicated, but since Nachum brought it up, right, I'm going to bring it up. This is a bit more of a complicated nafkamina. It wasn't the one I was going to jump to.
Sorry.
But we're going to do it. No, it's fine. It's a fascinating one, for sure.
It's to us.
What?
It's to us.
What?
We're getting to a complicated thing.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
No, I'm not saying it is.
Okay. What? This wasn't on a sheet. I sent it out in a WhatsApp. Just what?
No.
I'm not using that right now.
No.
I'm not using that right now. I'm using the Tosfos Yontif. Right now we're mostly in the Gemara. The sheet is right.
Choose from a later.
Okay. But right now we're gonna look at the Tosfos Yontif. Can you share? Show them the WhatsApp with the Tosfos Yontif. Okay. So another nafkamina emerges from a very very strange case of sakin. So here's the question. Could you possibly have a case of something that comes from a guy that does not need tevila? So what would you think?
Repeat the question.
Yes. Could you ever have a klei seuda right, that comes from a non-Jew that does not need tevila.
According to the Mishnah,
yes.
What?
No, the Mishnah didn't say it yet.
Good. So first conceptually, and then we'll get to the question. Right? First tell me outside. What would this hang on? What type of thing might not need tevila?
You'd only be borrowing it.
Put it... No, not...
They wouldn't need
we already said that. Something that you're buying from a guy.
Okay.
Is there any kli, suda, that you buy from a guy that doesn't need tevila? Conceptually.
Like what you said with the university people when they
No. Something you buy from a guy.
Okay.
Oh, stop.
Like actual
stop trying to get out of it. Something that you buy from a guy, which is a kli suda.
I would have thought. No.
Why? Now let's talk this out. Why?
Because it says any. The Mishnah says anything.
Oh, it's a Jewish. It's a Jewish store.
No, the Mishnah says anything that bought...
Something you bought, made by an individual guy from beginning to end, right?
Because you still need to add this Kedushas.
Depends who owns it.
Wait, so let's talk it out. If you think that what? Tvila is either adding a positive or removing a tumah of non-Jewishness, but has no relationship to Hechsher as well, at all, rather, then should every Kli... that was made from beginning to end by the guy. Don't give me any of this. And you're buying it now.
From a guy.
To use for your meal. Yeah. Right? Not like, don't give me some, you know, I'm using, buying a fork, but I'm using it as, you know, to carve a hole in the wall. No, I don't care. Right?
You said it was for food.
So, if it's removing only to mat goy, or adding Kedushat Yisrael, whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah.
But it has no connection to Hechsher as well. So then what would you say? And this is how we paskin. Right? Yes, you obviously always, always, always need Tvila. What would be the only way of construing a logical argument that certain Kalim that you buy from a guy might not need Tvila?
You mean a rush?
No, not with a material that... I mean, a material that normally needs Tvila. Harris, you're right. But a material that always needs tvila, right? Gold.
When you're in like a predicament that you need to cook with it.
No. Conceptually, you're coming up with a shasat chak. I don't want a shasat chak. That conceptually it would not need tvila. Not you could get away without tvila for this. I don't want that.
If you don't use it for.
This is like what you Nachum was saying. Good. Is that if you think that tvila is in the end of the day related to hechsher, meaning not only is it. Right, that at some level, tumat goy is related to not kosherness, that there's a blurry line between them, right? Then theoretically, you could argue, you don't have to, but you could, right? There's a one-way nafkamina.
Right.
There's a one-way nafkamina, right? Meaning, the only way to argue this is to say that tvila and hechsher are so close
that if you don't need hechsher,
that if something, by definition, is what? Not susceptible to... kosherous problems, then it might also not be subject to tumat akum problems.
That's a kind of a stretch.
Yeah, except who said that? You.
Right.
You said that.
I know.
Right? You said that. Now, you understand why it sounds like a stretch. It is a stretch, and it's very unlikely to be true,
but
right?
It
because,
seems like that.
But it's at least a logical possibility, and that was what I wanted to point out, Nachum, that, again, this is why I said this is complicated, because it's a one-way naftimina with a very convoluted logic. But the Tosas Yontif suggests it. Because the Tosas Yontif, the way he understands this, is he writes, Harav lo hitzrich b'sakinim tvila. He didn't need tvila for? What? Knives. Why?
Why? Because he wasn't using them for hot.
More, because they're not the type of thing that's used for hot.
What do you mean?
Right? Because think about it. A new thing, right? Remember, this is the problem. A new kli.
Right.
Do you need a tovelet?
We possibly
yes. Yes, obviously.
Right.
That's the Gemara.
Yes.
Right? So, this is, you can't just say that it's, well, you didn't use it for not kosher, and therefore it doesn't need tvila, because we said that new kalim also need tvila.
Right.
Right? You have to come
so
up...
How can you say a knife doesn't need...
So what you're going to have to argue is... Right? This is why I said it's convoluted.
It's clearly, according to the Gemara, that it's...
Correct. And that's why I said it's a bit convoluted. What you're going to have to say is the type of kli that isn't even, in theory, susceptible to non-kosher problems because it's never used with hot.
But it doesn't make a difference. Even a new kli that was never...
Nachum. And that's why misvara, right? That's why we don't paskin this way. Right?
Right.
Right, you understand? That's why I said, this is a complicated nafkamina. Right? There are so many ways you could argue on this, which is, what are you talking about? Tumat gai can inhere, even in something that is not used for in such a way that it can become not kosher. How do I know?
Also, there's different...
Because kelim chadashim.
Right.
Or you could say, what are you talking about? Knives are sometimes used
for hot,
which is...
Steak knife.
Right, why we have to kosher them. But, again, there's a one-way nafkamina. Right? The ability to even posit the possibility that a certain kli, because it's not on a normal basis used in a case where it would be susceptible to non-kosherness.
You're comparing knives to like plastic.
No. No, plastic and glass, that has to do with substances. This is a metal thing. Meaning that this is a metal. It's material that under normal circumstances can become not kosher, needs tefillah.
Right.
But this kli is not normally used for non-kosher, and therefore, right? Meaning, how is he going to have to conceptually distinguish this from a new kli? He's going to have to say, a new kli, the reason it needs tefillah is because...
It still might be able to be used for...
It one day is susceptible. Not one day. Not susceptible. It's likely, it's the type of kli that could have become not kosher, and therefore, it is susceptible to tumat goy.
So if a knife is not susceptible to tumat
goy... So that's susceptible is the wrong word. That's the thing. Like I said, there are 100 ways to argue on this.
Right. So the, but like
what he's saying is...
Let's say the guy does use it for a hot steak, and you use it for cold. According to this, you still wouldn't...
But this is something we'll have to see when we get to tefillah, is that it goes by rove. Right? It goes by rove. Right? That koshering is probably by rove. Okay?
Got it. So even if that one case...
I mean, you have to kosher something, but the way you kosher is the way it's used on a general basis.
Right.
Okay. So if you look, but like I said, this is a one-way nafkamina, which... This is why I said I didn't want to get into it, because sakin, it's such an unlikely thing to be true.
Right.
Right? But it shows that he does raise a possibility, and he says... Haravu hitzchak mitzakinim tevila v'cheinir aloshen harambam b'feirusho shekosav v'im hishchez olibein v'zeo tachles ha'echshav v'linen tumah v'tari yevshav v'lo tevila b'mei mikva mash medilein yisra v'heter ein sorech, right? U'tevila zushu zachan v'kan v'shum yisra v'heter, etc. And then he says u'minolam l'chalek, but then the end he pushes it away, right? He said, how do you know, right? Why would you say such a thing, right? And then he says in the Rambam Mishnah Torah it doesn't sound this way, right? But my point is, right, the possibility of sounds like this clearly thinks that the line between Heksher and Tvila is narrow.
Yeah.
What do you mean by narrow?
Meaning not so far.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
And therefore that type of
with
the type
blurry
of thing.
Or narrow?
What?
Blurry or narrow?
Blurry.
But how could
so
blurry?
Like,
what do you mean by blurry?
Like,
correct. I know what's they're related. They're related to the point that if something is not going to likely be in the category of the type of thing that needs hechsher,
okay,
then it doesn't need tvila, even less than a new kli.
So here it's.
So in other words, you're saying it's similar kind.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. This svara clearly goes in a very, very, very hard line that they are
connected.
Kazeh, right?
Then you see later on in the Gemara that they're not.
Correct. Okay. But again, this is very unlikely to be true.
It doesn't sound so true.
It's very.
I mean, I can see why you would say that because it does.
No, it's very unlikely to be true. Okay.
Is there anyone
now?
Is there anyone that passes that way?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Now. Give me another potential nafkamina. Right? What would be another issue that would point itself in the direction, right? That would help us answer the question: to what extent tefillah is like hechsher and removing a problem, and what type of problem? Right? What other issues might point us in directions?
According to what we were know, or the Gemara?
Or Svara, whichever one, I don't care.
That would point us to say that...
Well, okay, here it is. Give me a proof that as close as we want to get Heksher and Tvila, they're not identical. They're not. How do I know? Give me a good proof from the Gemara.
Get a new pot
from the Gemara. Give me two. Good. One is new. Give me two good proofs that they're not identical. One is...
Oh, because borrowed...
Good. Those are the two rayas, right? They're clearly not identical because tevila is required even for...
A new thing.
And still right? And correct. And you're allowed to use it. So now we've got to sharpen our svara a little bit, right? Which is, okay, let's go to tevila. So tevila, whether you think it's removing a negative or adding a positive, right? You still got to ask, well, what exactly is this negative that it's removing, and what is the positive that it's removing such that it is not, it is still necessary by a new kli?
Well, that doesn't make sense.
And unnecessary.
I would say vice versa.
By Sheila.
Right, I would say vice versa. Oh, no, well, yeah, the new kli, there was no tumas guy.
Is that true? Clearly not.
Right.
Well, okay. So here's the problem, right? Is, okay, given that tevila, right, we've said tevila can be looked at as negative or positive, and we've, so far until now, we've been looking at some of the blurriness between hechsher and tevila. Right? But now let's look at the non-blurriness. Right? To the extent that tevila is distinct from koshering, which it mostly is. Remember, right? At the end of the day, it still mostly is. The two biggest proofs are that you need tevila on a new kli, and that you don't need it
on
a borrowed kli, right? Both of those are distinctly problematic.
Yes.
If you think that
it's removing,
if you think it's right, if you make it too close to hechsher, because neither of those make any sense in the context of hechsher, right?
One without the other.
Well, correct, and therefore, but that makes sense because to the extent that because tevila clearly is what it's not removing. Non-kosherness, right? It's removing not Jewishness, right?
Meanwhile, you don't have to.
Now, and it's and what is it adding?
Kedusha
Yisrael.
Okay, what's the point?
Well, so I guess for a borrowed.
So good. Here's the problem. Is non-Jewishness in your kli a problem?
According to borrowed things, no.
And according to new pots.
Yes.
Do you see the contradiction here? Okay. Right. You see the So what? Here's the problem.
You only need
right? Is whoa. So now let's try to pin it down a little bit more. Right. Let's push it farther now. Okay. Which is okay. Clearly, tevila to whatever extent yesterday we talked about that it shares certain properties with hechsher. Right. It clearly is not identical. But now explain it to me. Is eating from a kli with tumat goy a problem?
No.
How do you know?
From borrowing.
Because borrowed. Right? So then what are we even talking about? So now let's try to get to the core of tevila. I don't understand. Right? I don't get it.
It's adding...
Didn't I tell you? I want you to read the Gemara carefully.
Yes.
And the problem here. Right? So what is it? Right?
It's adding this next... step of Kedusha Yisrael, which
do you
is
need that?
Only if you
only
own the item.
Your owner.
If you don't own the item, then it's
why?
Because Kedusha Yisrael is for things of Yisrael. It's not a thing, what you have is not a thing of Yisrael. It's of goy.
Yeah, there's no point.
You can't put Kedusha Yisrael as a thing that's not yours.
Good. What is the closest model we have for this?
Borrowed.
Did you get to the Yerushalmi?
We did not.
Okay, so now let's blow your mind a little bit here. Right, look at Tafnun Han the Ritva. Everyone quotes this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Pirshu bi Yerushalmi. Got it?
Which
Gemara, the first one in the Gemara. Tafnun Han, got it? Pirshu bi Yerushalmi. The fishe yatsu mi tumasan shel nachrim. Likdusha san shel Yisrael. What does that mean?
To remove the tumah of the non-Jew. To add this kedusha.
Good. Like who? What is the Yerushalmi getting at? What is tevila?
It's sort of both positive and negative.
It's conversion.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It's like a gay. It's like a gear.
Oh, but if it's still a non-Jew.
Oh, so now let's now. Yes, that's what Yerushalmi says. The tevilat kalim is needed like tevilat hager.
What's a Shabbos goy?
Yes, like this that. Is the Yerushalmi.
What's a Shabbos goy? What's a convert? In the sense that the
voice. Oh, so now let's push it farther. Good. So what's it really saying? Is there a problem with something having kedushat goy, kedushat having tumat non-Jew, tumat akum? No.
No.
Okay. So what is there a problem with? Be very careful.
Owning something that's too much going.
Correct. Right? The problem is a Jew. Kli, right? Now we have to be very precise.
A Jew
right?
owning a Shabbos guy.
No.
Use that case, not
no.
this.
No. Right? What's the Yerushalmi really getting at? Is that, yes, Tfilah is removing a negative, namely Tumat Akum.
Right.
I, then how are you allowed to use a barred item? Because Tumat Akum is not like not kosherness. What is it? It's the type of thing that can exist when there is a requirement for a higher level of Kedusha. Right? Meaning, once it has entered Judaism, right, the Jewish space, then Tumat Akum is anathema.
What's anathema?
Right? It's like, it's contradictory. No, anathema is not just bad. It's like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't shtim. Right? Right?
Peace doesn't fit the puzzle.
Right? Meaning, what's... Now, if we push it farther, what's... The fundamental difference, I think, between Tfilah and Hechsher, no matter how close you want to conceptually link them, is that what? Is that Tumat Akum is not a problem like not kosherness. It is only a problem to coexist with what?
With
Kedusha Yisrael.
What do you mean by coexist?
Right, meaning if you're borrowing a kli from a guy, so does the kli have Tumat Akum?
Yes.
Why doesn't it matter?
Because it's not having the Kedusha Yisrael.
Correct, right? Meaning what? I'll give you a mashal from something we did earlier in the year, right? Is there a problem with a Jew going... do Jews have to be worried about the fact that non-Jews brought Avodah Zarah into their own houses that you don't own?
Well,
in Chutz Laretz.
But in your house...
No, their own house that you don't own in Chutz Laretz.
No.
Mm-hmm. When does it become a problem?
If you own the house.
If you own the house or it's Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Why? Oh, isn't Avodah Zarah a problem?
You're mixing you can't have both
Tumah. And the answer is, yes, Avodah Zarah is a problem, but if it's in the guy's house in Chutz Laretz,
there's no problem.
So, meaning, it's a. I'll put it this way. Is Avodah Zarah a bad thing?
Yes.
Is it my problem?
No.
When does it become my problem?
It's in your position. Yeah.
When it's in my territory.
There's only room for either Kedusha.
Correct. So what's it saying? What's he saying? He's saying, look, even to the extent that you think that Tfilat Kalim removes Tumat Akum, it's not a problem in the way not kosher food is. Because non kosher food is what? Is a problem of what?
Actually eating non kosher.
Of consumption.
Right.
And therefore, does it matter who owns the kli?
No.
Non
kosher.
But Tvilat Kalim has nothing to do with
eating non kosher.
What?
With consumption.
Right, with consumption. Right?
It's just about
it has to do with...
This is all spiritual.
The owner.
Correct. It's that the that when it's in my possession, I need to remove Tumat Akum from that which belongs to me and maybe add Kedusha Yisrael to it. Right? In that sense, right? Now, so what's the mashal of the ger? Does a goy need to go to the mikveh?
Yes.
No! If a goy wants to become a Jew, does he need to go to the mikveh?
Yes.
No, that's the key.
Okay,
right?
Fine.
Does a goy need to...
I thought you were
right? Meaning, what's he saying? A goy, right, does a goy have Kedusha Yisrael?
No.
Is that a problem?
No.
When did he become a problem?
When he becomes a Jew.
If he wants to be a Jew, then he has to go to the mikveh. Right?
Yeah.
So the Yerushalmi is saying, in a chanami, there is akumness. There is non-Jewishness in this kli. Right? That's a problem if what?
If you want
to... If I want to bring it into my house. He wants to keep it in his house. He wants to let me use it. Right? Limashal, what is this like? This is like me on a one-time basis walking into the house of a generic idol worshiper. Not to worship, not to anything. Walking in to use the bathroom. Right? When he happens to have an idol somewhere in the house. Is that my problem?
No.
And if he offers me a cup of water while I'm there and has it been tovled the kli, is it my problem?
No.
Well, we're right? No. The answer is no.
Yes, I get it. But in even this situation nowadays...
Do you rely on this ever?
Huh?
Do you rely on this ever?
What's it? Yes.
When do you rely on this halacha?
You probably don't call it.
Huh? What? When do you rely on this halacha?
Hospital,
Starbucks, right?
Well, since when there's no Kiddush? I mean,
I don't know why.
There's no religious.
Starbucks does not tovel their machines. Well, there might
do you drink? Right? Do you have the coffee? Oh, oi! It is Tumas Akum.
I don't go to Starbucks.
Fine, whatever the heck you go do in Belgium. What do they have in Belgium?
The cafe.
Okay, the cafe's instruments are not put in
the morning. The washing hands in the morning removes Tuma.
Correct. Do non-Jews have to do it? No. Right? Does that mean they don't have Tuma on their hands? I don't know. Right? But it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter because they're not. Right?
I mean, there might be a different problem with Starbucks.
Sure. Right? But you understand now, right? So yesterday what I tried to convince you of was that, right, Tvil and Echter might be
similar.
More similar than you thought, and the question is how much. But what you have to remember is that no matter how close you get them,
we're just like,
it's very narrow.
Right? Meaning, right, see, this is always the problem, right? Is good briskers, right, try to make things simple by saying, here's Tzvei Dinim, and this is at this end, and this is at that end, right? The truth is always somewhere in the middle, right?
The good Tzvei Dinim.
Right, meaning, but the question is how far, right? This was something I learned a long time ago, right? Was that, right? Like, Rav Lichtenstein tried to take every question and break it down into 10 questions, and each question would have two possibilities, right? Rosenzweig's derech is to do that and then reconstitute it, right? And say, but if you put all these little questions together, you'll see that the sheet don't really lie in a spectrum, right? It's not really menakatzel lekatzel. Sure, in each individual question, it's yes or no, right? It's X or Y. But when you put all the little X's and Y's on one big spectrum, you see that the picture is, right?
Kind of coming together.
Because you can't say, right, most people won't take the extreme position on every single minor question, which means that when you reconstitute the...
So if you want to say they're connected, you have to take the position.
So what you're seeing here is that, right, yesterday we focused more on, right, to the extent to which they're the same. Right, today we're focusing on their differences, but they're both true, right? Meaning, you could take the extreme, well, that's not true. You could take the extreme, which is that they're totally unrelated, right? Legamre unrelated,
right?
It's just about adding Kedusha Yisrael, like the Rush, right? But even the people who take them closer, clearly it's not out of Sof, right? They're not identical, right? Clearly not.
That you still need both.
Right, meaning clearly, right? Meaning Tevila is never going to be purely about Heksher. That's ridiculous. Right? No one says that. Right? They might say it's related enough to Heksher that you have to do Heksher first. Right?
Solve the problem is boil everything in mikvah.
Yes, boil. No, what about Lipun? And then, no, first run it through the fire, then boil the mikvah.
Exactly.
And then
make sure it's the Hajiman
and electrocute the mikvah, and then
everything will be okay.
The Gomri. I don't know if that would actually work, but fine. Not important. Not important. Okay? Fine. So now I hope I've complicated the picture enough, but you understand, again, Nachum, right? To drive home the point I said before, right? All of these questions emerge from
whether
the Gemara, right? Meaning, right, you understand, I want to understand methodologically what I'm doing here, is I'm not trying to, right, you see, I'm picking a piece of Rishonim to focus on the questions that are mitbakesh, right? That are necessary from the Gemara itself.
Got it.
Right? Right? Meaning you understand the tension in the Gemara itself, and that's what you're grappling with.
Right.
Okay, good. Now, can you just grab me a tour, Yeridea Kovchaf?
Okay.
Does it ever...
Or a Shulchan. Yeah, a tour, a tour.
Like, is it like 100%... know like what exactly a kli suda is? Like,
no, we're gonna
touches.
No, so we're gonna do a little bit of halachol ma'isa. I think we'll get to it, but there are machlokot about what about storage things, right?
Right, like if you store cereal in a glass container.
Correct. So that's a discussion
maybe
in post-kip.
Maybe it's just for cooking. And
correct. All that is a discussion, right? Because right, and that's gonna force us to what? Yoredea simen kufchaf. Right, I mean, that's going to force us to push it a little bit farther, which is, what exactly is the type of kli that requires this added kedusha?
Right.
Right.
Because, like, you could say a glass cake tray might need tefillah.
A glass cake tray for sure needs tefillah.
Why?
Why would it not?
Are you serving the cake on?
For sure.
Is it yours?
Mayach.
You're not cooking. It's just for
Whoever said anything about cooking. Clay Suda is not cooking. Clay Suda is things that are used during meal.
No, used with food.
You eat off of a cake tray. Right? You pick, you put it in your mouth. It's like a plate.
You put it, it's like a, even though you put it on another plate?
Sometimes you do. If you're polite, you do. Does everyone always do that? You've never seen someone say, oh, look, the crumb fell. The icing fell off. But I'm just going to... I need to look nice.
Oh, I'm so bad.
You've never done that. Tell me you've never done that. I don't believe any of you. Any of you.
Not the crumb, the last slice. I don't like icing.
What?
No, eat off the cake tray.
Oh, that's disgusting.
What?
I don't eat off the cake tray.
You don't take a crumb?
We're in Florida where catering is like super cheap, meaning they don't clean everything perfectly.
Oh, God. Remind me never to go there. Oh,
yeah, why should we go
there?
What? Mosquitoes, crocodiles, God. And, you know.
And now this thing.
And now that.
You have to find the right company, though.
I think there are more alligators.
That's the bigger problem.
Do you like this also?
Just terrible. Honestly, really.
My house is clean. Just the catering companies you try to get from there are not good.
I hope they're not listening, or they will. We'll prove. We'll give you free catering just to prove it. And then all the people that are listening this year, you'll have a good advertisement. We'll announce who's clean in Florida
before Pesach. A lot of prices are clean.
Oh yeah, by Pesach.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you live
by
there,
Pesach,
Joseph?
Everything's already turned into mold and dirt already. So it's by Pesach, it's from year to year. It's the whole year in between, so everything turned to mold.
That's always really good. So
I think the cabinets sit together. The mold, mold hardens between the walls.
That's always really good. Gala before Pesach.
That's how my school prize stood up. All the mold between the walls basically made a more compact structure.
Now,
wait, does this also apply from, let's say, on Pesach when you want a kosher or kalim? According to this, you would boiling your knives and forks might not help.
Why?
Because anything that was passed through fire needs to.
It still needs to be passed through fire.
Anything forged with fire has to pass through fire.
No, they use with food with fire. Are your knives used with food with fire?
Well, I boiled
if they
pasta.
Are, then yes. Then
oh,
work.
Like mean like a pot. Like a pot was used on fire.
No, a pot is used with water because the food transmits its taste to the pot through the medium of water.
Right, but therefore you can't.
So what would be
water wouldn't kosher for
a spit, a grill.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, like no, when the food is cooked, what is the medium through which it touches the...
So the metal grates of the grill would have to be...
Correct. That's okay, like a fine. Good classic case.
Does that mean to make my pot kosher in Pesach, I have to submerge it in hot water?
Yes.
I'm just making sure. My mom just said to stop, just put it away for Mechira. Rather than try to kosher it.
I mean, you can do that.
I know.
It's not better or worse. It's not better or worse. You can do whatever you want. You can kosher it. You could not use it. There's not actually a preference there.
Do you have to do it for 24 hours?
No. What do you think most people did for all of history?
They had to actually wash it.
Okay, where in Shulchan Aruch do you think the primary simon for Hilchos Hechsher Kelim is? What do you think it is?
When we went down Mitzrayim.
What do you think it is? Where is it in Shulchan Aruch? What do you think? Yes, Hilchos Pesach. Because in the past, people weren't rich enough. So, yes, you koshered every Pesach. Because you didn't have the room in your house or the money to just say, oh, Pesach's coming, let me get a second set of china, 30 new pots and pans, a new set of silverware for dairy and meat.
You still have it.
Right? In Israel, by the way, it's much more common that people kosher.
Right.
First of all, it's not as wealthy as side, but also because simply people don't have room. People don't have room. Right? Like all every yeshuv, every like has we have massive, like huge boiling pots that just have in the yeshuv, like koshering stations where people standing there with blow torches and with big boiling water, and they bring your stuff like 10 shekel or something for hagala everything in your house. Yeah,
it's nothing.
It sounds fun.
And like 15 for
like
Liban or something.
So it's not 24 hours. You have to have it in hot water or
No, it has to have not been used in 24 hours.
Oh, so submerge it in boiling. You submerge it.
Alternatively, put soap in it or whatever.
But that's hagala before Pesach. Hagala is to take a chametz, not to take a pig.
But it's the same thing because chametz on Pesach is like pig during the rest of the year. Essentially, it's not totally the same because hetera bala yisro bala
for different reasons.
For sure, obviously.
Not for the
correct
regular what it's talking.
Correct. I mean, there are slight differences because of yisro bala and hetera bala.
In America, everyone usually has a separate dishes for
Pesach. Yeah, also in Europe, also.
Yeah, it's more common. I guess because there's more room to store.
Yeah, there's more room to, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
People's storage is usually that one. There's one corner dedicated to everything you have for Pesach.
Yep. True, some people even have a Pesach kitchen, like they don't even use.
Yeah, I know.
That's extremely rich.
No, that's incredible. I would love.
It's awesome.
Okay. So, now, what's another potential way that we could test this? So, what happens if you did use the kli without tevila? Now what? You cooked in a pot without tevila. Is the food kosher?
Yes. Wait, you kosher the pot.
Yeah,
you kosher the pot.
Hello.
You just said it's set according to...
In the kuchen, you don't need tevila in the kuchen.
You
bought the pot. You bought the pot, and now you cooked in it, but you forgot to do tefillah. Now it's halacha.
But it was kosher.
Or it was new. What's the halacha?
With Rashbag, you don't have to. You're okay. You can eat the food. Tovel it as soon as you can.
Can you?
Yeah. Why not? What's preventing you from toveling it? It's not. It's kosher. But you didn't put the.
But the food was cooked in a pot that had not yet been toveled.
Right, but tovel doesn't affect the consumption. We said
what?
Tovel doesn't affect the consumption. The consumption we said.
But you can't use that pot.
It's still. So now, but now I'm asking you.
It's not like you knew you didn't tovel it.
What is this? Good. So what is this going? What should this theoretically hang on?
If they're interlinked or not.
Yeah, good. Is if you think that it's just purely adding a tahara,
then it's not.
So then look, your food is not as holy as it could have been, but what can we do?
If it's
about removing tumat akum, then at least possibly you could have said maybe it's similar to...
It's similar to koshering.
Good, what's the halacha?
You can eat it, but you tovel it as soon as you can.
Where do you get that from?
The Rav told us yesterday.
That doesn't count. Where do you get this from?
Come on, you gotta say it.
That's a good. Because you might be wrong, right? I told you that's the consensus psak, but it's not actually 100%, right? And why is this important? Because it's not necessarily true 100%. Good. Good. So where do you get it from?
What would make it not true?
People saying it's untrue.
Oh, okay. Why would they think that?
Because if you think that it's about removing a problem, right, even if it's not a consumption problem, it still might be that once, right, you could just formulate, it's a little bit of a weird formulation, but it might be that, look, once it's entered into the Rishus of Yisrael, it now has the requirement to remove Tumas Akum. And if the food is cooked in it, it's food that should not have been cooked with Tumas Akum present that was. Right? And that could be problematic enough to make it not mutter to eat. Right? That it's a very nuanced formulation there. Right? But you could have constructed that. Now it's a hard formulation. You're right. And that's why it's not the consensus psak. Right? But where do you get it from?
We're talking about someone that forgot to do tvina.
Good, where is it from? Come on.
We're talking about someone that forgot to do tvina.
Look at the end of the Gemara. Maybe you didn't get this far in the Gemara.
No, we did, but we didn't do it today, like in time.
So look down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Okay. Or should you go back a little bit far? Let's read from the two dots quickly, okay? Tana Rabbanan. Halokech klitash mishmen obet kochavim. Right, if you take something from a non-Jew, dvarim shalom shtamish ben matvilan vein doran. If you never use it, just do tefillin, that's enough. Dvarim shalom shtamish ben al yidei tzonen, gigon kosod v'kitoniot utzlochot, maddichan u'matvilan. So things that were used for cold, so rinse them off and then put them in the mikvah. Dvarim shalom shtamish ben le'achamen, things that were used through hot water, gigon ayorda kumsimen machame chamen. Magila, right? Like a kumkum, yes. It's like a hot water urn, fine? Magila numatvilan. So what do you do?
Hagol and Tvila. Bein Torin. Dvarim shemishtamish behen al yidei ha'or, if they were used with fire, kegon ashvudin va'askalot, right, grills and spits, melabdon umatvila, bein Torin. V'kulon shemishtamish behen ad shlo yadpil, v'shlo yagil, v'shlo yilabein. And all of them that were used before Tvila, without Hagol, without Libon, Tani Chada Asur, Tani Idach Mutter. One says they're Asur, one says they're Mutter. So now this is even koshering, right? This is even koshering, right? Right?
But you didn't kosher.
Correct. How could that be? So the Gemara said, and we're going to come back to this. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. Ha commandam nosin tam of gam asur, ha commandam nosin tam of gam mutter. Right? It depends on whether you think that the negative taste from a kli. The negative not kosher taste from a clay, meaning it's already an old taste, whether that creates kosher's problems or not. What's called nosin tam lefgam. Okay? No. That's nosin tam bar nosin tam. That's nosin tam bar nosin tam. This is just nosin tam lefgam.
I don't understand it, because we said consumption is a problem. So
correct. So this is what when we get to Hechsher, we're going to have to see this, is that not all consumption is the same. And this is what the Gemara already introduces, the possibility that certain tastes, once they become rancid, no longer create kosher's problems.
Also, if it's less rancid, than 160.
They become spoiled. Okay?
If it's less than 160,
also. Or whatever, all these different things. Okay, we're going to get to that. And we're going to come back to Hechsher. Right? But, in the Gemara clearly seems to hold. The simplest read of the Gemara is that what? That what potential problem might there be with using a kli that was not koshered and toveled?
You didn't kosher it.
Right? The focus is on the kosheres. Right? The Gemara...
Of this Gemara. Okay, yeah.
Right? The Gemara says, there are some shittos who say that even if you didn't kosher a kli and you use it to b'dievet, it's
fine.
Mutter. And other people say it's asur. But what does the Gemara seem not to even care about at all?
The
tvila. Right? I mean, the Gemara is saying, simple implication of the Gemara is that what? That if the only issue at hand had been Tvila, then would you have been allowed to eat from this food?
Kind of sounds like that.
For sure, right? That's the simplest read.
Of this.
Right? Of this Gemara, right? That's the simplest shot.
But the Gemara before kind of sounds like it is a problem.
No. Right? Because the Gemara says, the problem is, Hagol, is the lack of koshering. Right? I mean, it's...
I'm saying, but the Gemara we previously did, it sounds like Tvila and Hechsher are two different things. So he just did Hechsher without doing Tvila.
But so from this Gemara, though, the simplest read, you have to admit, right, is that whatever Tumat Akum is, it's not enough of a problem, right, to actually impart the food, or really Tvila is only about adding the positive, right, which is adding to Israel, right?
Right?
So either you say it's only about adding positives, and therefore, okay, you missed the positive, big deal, or... Right, it's just not of a strong enough negative to actually go into the food.
Right,
however you want to look at it.
But the previous Gemara kind of sounds like it's also.
So the reason that Rove Poskim, right, assume that if b'dieved you already cooked something in a pot that didn't have tvila, the reason that it's mutter is because of this Gemara.
Right.
So read, for example, a clear formulation of this in the Ritva. he just says. Right? I mean, he says...
It's here? Or it's...
He says...
Yeah, one sec.
I mean, he said, right? But the Eved ain't no ma'a cave. Right? Well, let's just look at Tosos. Just look at the last Tosos on the page. What?
I have to get the...
So one second, okay? So look at Tosos at the end. What does he say? Mimanditani mutter nakit shapir achlo yatbil. Avomandani asr in lasr mishamish bokodim tvila. Right? Meaning no one would say it's asr before tvila, right? That's the first day in Tosvot. But then he says, maybe not. Miu ikal memer digazar atu kodim agal veliban. He says, maybe derabanan is not true. Maybe we have a gzera that we don't let you use...
The,
we don't let you use foods from a pot that was not toveled, Why? Because that might lead you to
not care
using from a pod that wasn't koshered, which means that he doesn't think the Ikar Adin, but what does he clearly think? That at some level,
it's a
they're at least perceived to be close enough.
That you,
right?
You might start letting
right? Meaning, Tevila and koshering are still perceived close enough that maybe
you might
in Achanami that we treat Tevila
like kosher.
Like, right, that which was not Tovil, like that which was not koshered. Right? Right, so you see, Tosus himself is playing with this.
No,
again, mostly on a Derabban and Gzira
so
level.
Going with that. So Tosus is going that Tevila is at removing a negative as well.
Primarily. No. That's his second possibility, right? His first possibility is that the simple shot is there's no problem.
I'm saying, like, if
you... No, his first day. Look, right, it's 2 days.
Right.
His first day is there's no problem at all. Right?
Right, but then he says, oh, it might not be that
simple. Then maybe not, but only because of Xera. So he's clearly going more in the positive direction, but he's saying, in his second, well, maybe it is similar enough to Tevila, to Kashering, right. And people might get confused, which could just be a perception issue, or it could be a conceptual issue, right, that they're actually linked. Now this is, right, now this, she is not even quoted in the tour, right? The tour just says, Afal pish etzarach la'adbel kli kodem shishtamish bo, im nishtamish bo kodem lo nesar mash nishtamish bo et manu od. Right? Even though you're supposed to do tefillah before you use it, if you didn't, then you didn't. Right? Meaning he doesn't pask in this way at all. He doesn't even bring it up. But I want to point out that, right, Tosfos, right? at least raises this as a possibility. Wait, what, he has turn note?
Yeah.
Okay, there was another one, Nafkimin, I wanted to do.
It says, I think,
right? I mean, we're going to have to come back to the Doraisa Dorabanan question, which we dealt with in the Psukim. But this is not really a negative. Okay, where'd he go? Should we just do the next Nafkimin tomorrow?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, we'll do one more Nafkimin tomorrow. And then we are going to. There's still other things to deal with.
You could pask in one way or the other because you have two Gemaras saying two different.
We don't have two Gemaras saying two different things.
The first Gemara is going like that Tevila and Heksher are separate. That they're both two different things, but then the second Gemara is combining.
These are implications. Remember, I said this is my point. Is this not black and white?
Right.
Hey, okay, Danny, come. I want to do one more thing, if I can. And is Yosef finished with Tarnut?
This is black and white.
Okay, let's do just one more Nafkamina, okay?
Okay.
Here's a middle case for you, okay? Here's a middle case for you. Okay, I'm gonna set this up, though we'll discuss it a bit more tomorrow, okay? Another way that you find in the post-gym of discussing this negative-positive, right? They have another way of formulating it, is what they call mitzvah versus matir. Right? Which is tefillat kelim only a mitzvah? Right?
Which means it's not.
Right? Meaning, there's no isser to permit, it's just that there's a mitzvah to be tovel the kli, which would be essentially there's only a positive.
It's a chiyuv.
Right? It's a chiyuv.
If you don't do it, then it's not.
If you don't do it, that didn't cause any problem with the food, it's just a positive. Right? Or is it a matir, meaning there's an isser to use the pot, right? Right? Meaning what we've been talking about so far is in the food.
Right?
Right? But the Achronim ask it even slightly differently, which is okay, forget the food for a moment. Is it that there's a positive mitzvah to do tevila, or is it there's an isser to use a pot
that wasn't toveled.
Which wasn't toveled, right? Now that could be simply because it's usher to use it and it's not toveled, or it could be because there's some sort of spiritual spiritual tuma that you have to remove. But lamai nafkamina, to this last formulation, this I hadn't given you yet.
Whether you could use the food or not.
So it could be the food, but not necessarily, right? Because here,
use the pot or not.
No, you're not allowed to use the pot. Everyone agrees that you can't use the pot either because it's
if
an isser.
If you didn't tovel it,
I remember you can't use it.
You could use the pot.
No, you can't use it.
You didn't tovel the pot. It's
no, that means you were, that's a bitul of a mitzvah.
Whether the food
you
is
can't
trace,
use it.
Whether the food.
No, you can't use the pot. Everyone agrees you can't use the pot. That's
but
a bitul mitzvah.
You did.
That's a bitul mitzvah. You, since when can you say, oh, well, there's no lav?
We said if it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to eat food that you.
So now we're pushing it a little bit differently. Can you use the kli? Is there ever a case where you could use the kli?
No.
Ah, so here's. Right, now we're going to push it one step farther,
even
which
if
is...
Even if it is a mitzvah, you can't use the kli without doing the...
Good. So what difference does it make? So this is a question that all the posts can point to in this Mordechai, which is, let's say, even if you want to say it doesn't mess up the food, there's no tumah involved, right? You can still ask the question, what is the nature of the obligation to tovel the kli?
Right.
Is it that I must tovel the kli, or is it that I can't use the kli? No. Or is that I can't use the kli if I don't tovel it? You'll be like, isn't that two ways of saying the same thing? It's
no,
not.
As if you do use the kli.
So here's the difference, right? There's... You know what? I want you to think about that question and tell me what you think the difference is. Okay, I want you to come up with a difference
by
in that.
Tomorrow or like now?
No, tomorrow. Right? This will end with this.
Whether it's
right?
You can't use the kli without toveling it, or whether
you need,
should.
Or you need. No, not should. Don't give yourself in it. Need
yes,
to.
Need.
But what's. Right? What's going to be the potential nafkamina?
Whether you do.
Or fine, I'll throw it out to you. But what's going to be the potential nafkamina that might prove this question?
Well, I want to think about it.
Okay, good. So think about it. Think about this question, okay?